Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler. You're back! The Clippers fans were missing you last episode.
I had to do some soul searching in the desert. I was out in Joshua Tree. You know, you fall down a couple losses. You got to get to the root of you.
You're taking peyote. You're wearing Yeah.
anyways, happy to be back. If you don't know, Charles and I are a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media people who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week, your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're here.
When does it come out?
Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. it drops.
Oh, good. Good to know. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's my favorite day of the week. It's Twitter Tuesday. Some fabulous questions there. If you ever want a chance to get your question featured on the show, go ahead, send those over to @LockedOnClips. We'd love to know what's rattling around in your brain, what you want to know. And then Charles put together some lineup talking, breaking down some of the most used lineups and sort of where we look with some different guards.
It's weirdly a focus kind of on Lou Will and his usage, because there's some really, I don't know if weird's the right, kind of some weird stuff in there.
All right. I'm loving it. And then in shavings, we're gonna calm down a little bit.
Man, chill out. We're recording this on Monday. It was an absurd day on Clippers Twitter. We're gonna talk about some of it.
We're gonna zen out. We're gonna have a good time. Yeah. Anyways, let's get into it. But first, Charles, can you talk a little bit about who brought this episode to these folks?
So verbatim, since we are not allowed to improvise, this episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times, InStyle magazine, or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana. 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com, and when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment two people can make. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're ready to mark a special commitment or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings is now available exclusively at BlueNile.com.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so we're getting things started with some Twitter Tuesday. First off, Gazpacho for All.
Which, look,
great Twitter name.
I don't know how we haven't talked about that before, because they've submitted questions, but man, what a great handle.
Gazpacho for All wants to know, recently, I've seen a lot of our guards fight through the pick and play their man from behind, sending them to the paint for the layup or a floater or just swiping at their shot.
Terrence Mann does that a lot. They add, are there better ways to guard the pick and roll, or is that the best anyone can do when playing elite guards? So I think this comes down to how Ty Lue wants them to play the pick and roll, right? Like, because the Clippers are getting kind of killed in the pick and roll, no matter who's in it. If it's Jason Tatum and the Celtics and they're getting jumpers off the side of it, or if it's, you know, the Kings and De'Aaron Fox and or any kind of quick guard and getting it to us. And I think it's just how Ty Lue wants them to play it. I think giving up floaters is part of the game plan.
Yes. I think so too. And you're hoping to limit some of that stuff with Serge as sort of that anchor there. But yeah,
because it's not like it's been great so far. Like, this is a good question. This is also a very nice way of like saying, how the hell can we do what we're doing differently?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that needs to be improved upon. Like, I just don't know. So we don't really have the best guards currently, as we're not fully healthy, to line up with other guards in the Western
Conference.
I love
that they worded playing elite guards, because that's what we're going to see in the playoffs.
Yes.
Jazz, we're going to see the Mitchell Gobert pick and roll every possession probably against the Jazz in the playoffs.
Yes. I mean, so I don't know. I almost think that if you're not counting PG as a guard, maybe you have the guard come up over the screen and you have your help drop back.
Well, we've seen that though, because when they play drop coverage, then we're just getting jumpers hit in our face. Because we're also playing it against people who will hit jumpers in your face.
Yes.
And Ty Lue's talking about how it's just a hard thing. I don't know. Maybe it's a familiarity thing with the guys.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, and some of it too, I think some of the stuff with getting down to the rim and guys getting blown behind, we have seen guys call for help earlier on when the, like, at the point of the pick, and like the help hasn't come. And that is something that can be improved upon, right? Like, that's something.
All the
that,
backdoor like, cuts, like,
Like that,
the
that,
Nets game, it was just very clear there's some communication breakdown.
Yes, like that to me is stuff that, that can clearly sort of just be picked up with more communication and a little bit of effort, which I think overall the effort has been there compared to what we saw last year. But I think that schematically this is something, I think it's still a work in progress, which I feel all right about. You know what I mean? Like, if I thought that we were still going to be running the same pick and roll coverages, you know, later in the season, I would be worried personally. We have not guarded the pick and roll well.
No, not even adequately.
No, it's been, it's not great, but I do have confidence that schematically there are things to be figured out. And I don't know if it's, I don't even think it needs to be a lineup adjustment so much as just a coverage adjustment.
For sure. That's a good call. Man, we could do like a whole episode on pick and roll defense. We might have to. Trevor Martin, though, asks, how can the Clippers fix their defense in the clutch? Also, how can they get easy layups in their offense? They referenced something that said, overall, the Clippers ranked 12th defensively, and in the clutch, they rank last, having allowed 90 points on 67 defensive possessions with the score within 5 in the last 5 minutes. Brooklyn, Boston, and Sacramento combined to shoot 12 for 22 in the clutch against the Clippers last week, with 6 of those 12 buckets coming in the restricted area. Only 3 of the Clippers' own 22 clutch field goals came in the restricted area. Well, I'm going to point out a pretty big issue in those Boston and Sacramento games. We were down 2 starters.
Yeah.
So that's kind of tough. Brooklyn is Brooklyn.
Down 1 starter.
And still the goddamn Nets. I don't think clutch defense is an issue we should really be worrying about right now. The offense, I think I'm more worried about. That's the part of this question I like, because we saw against the Celtics and against the Kings where it was just like, what the hell are we doing sometimes? Like, there's no ball movement. They were just kind of forcing shots. That's kind of more what I'm worried about. When the threes aren't falling, how can we get buckets?
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it's not even that the threes aren't falling. I just feel like sometimes we fall into sort of old habits or kind of last year moves down the stretch. And I do think this has actually been worsened with Paul George out of the lineup, not just because he's, you know, like he's phenomenal offensively and on both ends of the ball, but because I think Kawhi is mentally maybe trying to do a little bit more. And I think that sometimes that can stagnate the offense from, you know, like, you know, he can get it moving, but I think that sometimes it I don't know if it's a mentality thing or maybe it's a trust thing even.
I think that's a good call. I think part of it is just like, not that they don't trust the other people to do it. It's like, we got to get, you know, we then want to do something like,
it's like, who do you trust though? I mean, like, if Batum's not open, and I mean, depending on if Morris,
someone
is,
asked us, I can't remember,
is
who,
in the closing lineup. Or
asked us who would take the last shot, and it's whoever has the hot hand.
Yes,
which is difficult. I hope they get this figured out. I think they will, and I think it's just a lineup thing with availability.
Yeah, and I mean, 67 defensive possessions. I like that you bring this up, because I hadn't looked at these clutch numbers yet. So this is definitely going to be something to monitor for sure moving forward. 67 defensive possessions. You know, still not the largest sample size yet. And I do see that Brooklyn game as a kind of a freaking anomaly.
It's Brooklyn,
man.
So it's a finals opponent. Yeah, it's like, we got to throw that one out of our brains.
Durant was what in that? Like fucking 17?
Like 11 of 13 or something.
13. It was ridiculous.
Real quick, we're going to have to take some of these in the next segment. Clipper Zay asks, how close should we pay attention to our G League players? Which ones do you most likely, do you see most likely to come up from our G League team? It's just Amir Coffey and Aturu. Right? Like, they're the only guys who were kept on the team. Kind of, you know, Fee, done with the Clippers, you know, first team. But I think it's Coffey and Aturu.
Yeah, these are both guys to watch. You know, Coffey, man, if he could shoot at all, he would. I think that right now, you know, we could use him.
That's a good call.
But offensively, still a black hole. But yes, I still think that there is some promise there for sure. Aturu, I've been really pleasantly surprised with and kind of excited by.
Small sample size. I love everything that he's doing out there.
We don't need him right now. Like, just lineup wise, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to slot him in. But I still think that there, I can see a vision of a future there somewhere for sure. And then obviously, it seems like the organization is still very high on Jay Scrubb. Who knows what's going to happen with that?
He is a two-way player.
He is a two-way player. Kai Bowman, I thought, had some flashes in the...
Plays good defense.
In the limited scrappy time that we saw.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We're going to take two more of these questions into the next segment. We got to give a shout-out to Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, and if you're like me, you lost your child's tuition on the Chiefs. But the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Do not bet on the Kings to win is something I've learned from listening to Locked On Kings podcast. But they are garbage this season, so that's a good time. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. I said it last episode, if you're betting on reality TV, send us your bets.
I want to see.
I don't know what you bet on.
I want to know. Give us the inside tips.
Please. Real-time uploaded odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device, like a phone, to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so we got to get into a couple more Twitter Tuesday questions.
They were
again,
so good.
Yes, thank you so much to everyone who sent those in. One more time, if you want a chance to get your question featured on this show, ahead, send that over to @LockedOnClips.
For sure.
So what do we got?
So Amateur Hour, A-M-A-T-E-O-U-R Hour, asks, how much more do you think Terrence Mann can improve? Do you see him staying on the Clips long-term, maybe eventually starting? I've been really enjoying his contribution lately. So, long-term, yes, I actually do see him staying as a Clipper.
Contractually?
He's got that DNA, too. Also, he plays like a Clippers player right now. He plays like a much worse shooting and obviously very young version of Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, so I think... At a necessity, yes, he's a part of our
plans. Also a very good point.
Long-term, just where we're at contract-wise and cap-wise, he needs to be an asset that we develop. Honestly, like if this
team... If we're going to have one.
If this team... I mean, like if you want to have any sort of longevity, you need to be getting solid rotation commitments from guys on lower contracts. Like, that, honestly, that's just like a part of what the game is.
How you win chips.
Yeah, if you want to have a championship, like that's just how that has to work. So I think, out of necessity, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head, though. I have been enjoying his contributions, too. He's just got to stop fouling three-point shooters. Come on, man.
Yeah, that and that's rookie stuff, right? Because like his rookie year was so weird.
Not a rookie.
He's basically a rookie.
He's basically a rookie.
He's someone who you're like, man, training camp would really help. I don't mean that in a mean way. It just really would have helped a player like Terrence Mann. But he's looked great, and I like that he's kind of having to learn on the go. Starting, I don't know. Because PG is firmly locked up to be our three for the next however many years.
We don't even need that from him. Like I'm saying,
yeah.
If we can
backup point guard.
If we can get net neutral to slight positive rotation minutes out of this guy on the contract that he's on,
yep,
that to me is a success, man.
It's a win, for sure. Once him and Jay Scrubb are just running 1-2 for the Clips. Growl Pound, not sure how to take that Twitter handle, asks, and this one got me kind of heated, why is it Clips can go toe-to-toe with undermanned teams but usually struggle when they're the undermanned team? And if Kawhi is a superstar, shouldn't he be able to win some games played without PG? First of all, look, this feels like a response to the Clippers' last two losses. Which we're going to talk about in the last segment.
Does feel like maybe a little bit of a gut reaction.
But like...
Are we forgetting about last year how we couldn't win a game without Kawhi?
Against the Celtics, Kawhi had 28-11-5.
Yeah.
He made poor decisions late. I'm not going to excuse that.
Yeah.
He had 20-10 against the Kings. He looked gassed, sure. The whole team shot poorly from deep. Like... Sure, he should be able to win some of these games without PG, but these games are also without Patrick Beverley. Like, I don't want to make excuses for Kawhi because there are times when he takes over the game in these games. But it's just hard. And maybe we struggle when we're the undermanned team because we're undermanned.
So not only
like they're asking for upsets in this question. Like when we're undermanned, how come we can't get wins? And like the Celtics were undermanned too, but they still had their best player.
Yeah. I don't know. It's also kind of a quick turnaround. I mean, I once again, I don't want to make excuses either. We had a brutal road trip, 6 games in 9 days, came around, quick turnaround in Boston, or quick turnaround here against Boston, and then taking on the Kings, who are a team that with the Clippers pace is not like always going to be a, is not a friendly
brutal
matchup.
Yeah. And they don't like playing us. But no, I think, yeah, sure. I guess Kawhi should step it up more and score more than his 27, 6, and 5, whatever he's averaging.
It's not just him. Like, it's not just him. We need other contributions.
Yeah. And the schedule's been wonky. We get a bunch of rest before the Wolves game, so that's good. Let's get into this lineup talking. Most used lineup for the Clippers is the starters when Bev is healthy. It's been 167 minutes, which isn't even that many minutes when you consider how many damn games we've played already. Plus 25.4 net rating, 99.98 pace, 2.29 assist to turnover ratio. That's got to make you psyched, particularly.
Yes.
Second most used lineup, starters with Reggie instead of Patrick Beverley.
Which is, has played 100 less minutes, but still
yes.
up there at 62 minutes. Plus 42 net rating, which is a sample size thing.
That's all Reggie Jackson.
Get the hell out of here.
3.73 assist to turnover ratio, which is great. 93.47 pace. So a snail's pace. The team average is 92, which is even slower.
Yeah, both of these. I mean, obviously the most used lineup is going to have a slow pace. We're a slow team. What's interesting is how the pace kind of gets picked up when you look at the starters with Kennard.
Yeah, which isn't a lot of minutes. It's only 36 minutes of Kennard, Kawhi, PG, Batum, and Serge.
It's a full game, baby. What more sample size do you need?
Yeah, that's all you're going to go. Plus 9.8 net rating, 1.35 assist to turnover ratio. I assume because the ball is obviously in Kawhi and Paul George's hands more for playmaking. But they play at a 108.75 pace, which is so much faster than the 92. That's what, that's
nearly 10 possessions faster. That's insane.
Yeah, it's absurd. So that's an interesting one. Like, it was cool to look at this data. The most interesting thing about, like, I like the starters with Kennard, like, because of that pace, if they can figure out kind of that assist to turnover ratio, that's a really good lineup.
Look, so I think obviously for the time being, you got to take PG out of this, which is like a net hit of, like, I don't know, minus 10 as a player.
It's hard, yeah.
I think that is, yeah, he's something like a 110 defensively and 120 offensively right now per Basketball Reference. But anyways, I think this Kennard thing is interesting.
It's kind of weird.
It's weird, but I think that it just gives us another look, especially right now, with both Paul George and Pat Beverley out. Kennard can still hit open shots. They made a really strong effort in that Boston game to feed him early. He was the leading scorer.
And then they took it away from him, which was so weird.
And then he only attempted two shots in the entire second half of the game.
Yeah.
It was puzzling to me then. It's puzzling to me now. But I think that, like, I think that especially while we're undermanned, there's something to look at here.
Yeah, if we're going to take the ball handling responsibility out of our point guard's hands, yeah, why not have another dead-eye shooter out there, you know, who, like, is still getting his confidence back. So that it's definitely some, I just love the pace of that lineup. And then just some Lou Will lineup notes. Lou Will isn't in the top seven most used five-man lineups for the Clippers.
Yeah, out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
Kind of interesting. The most used Lou Will lineup so far has him paired with Kennard in the backcourt, which Ty has been moving away from, and you're about to hear why. The most used Lou Williams lineup is Luke Kennard, Lou Williams, Paul George, Morris, and Zoo. Minus 23 net rating in 28 minutes.
Yeah.
Objectively very bad.
Yes.
Luke and Luke Kennard have played 187 minutes together and are minus 5.5 for the net rating, which, it's not very good. I mean, it's a lot of minutes, but that plus minus is a little better than I thought it would be.
Can we talk about this? Because yeah. I feel like every year we have this conversation about, oh, what about some more off-ball Lou Will?
Yeah,
and every
it doesn't
year
work.
It's like, and every year it's like, why doesn't he just have the ball in his hands?
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy, like, whatever he's going through, he's kind of the guy on the second unit that I trust with the ball
and
in
with
his hands.
Doc, and like with the Doc Rivers system, it was like, all right, we got the pick and roll with Trez, that's all we got. But Ty Lue's using guys differently, right? He's staggering Paul George and Kawhi more. So, yeah, I'm fine with Lou kind of playing more of this point. And when Lou and Bev play together, it's really good. It's only been 69 minutes. Plus 43 net rating.
Yes.
When they are the backcourt. I love the Bev and Lou pairing, and I hope we see it more when Bev comes back.
I also think that we need to move away from Luke and Lou.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's bad for Luke Kennard.
Look, oh, yeah.
I think that some of Kennard's issues and his confidence issues is he's dribbling the ball less than he has in his career.
Good call.
He's holding the ball less.
Yeah.
That's not how he's comfortable. Yeah. It's not his game.
You're not saying, like, he needs to be the point. He just needs to dribble a little more than he's dribbling now.
We just need to get more actions, yeah, where he can have the ball in his hand a little bit.
And not even make the assist, initiate the play. Not even, like, get the assist. Yes. Just be the guy who gets it going.
And, yes, he can catch and shoot. We can use him in that Landry Shamet role. But, like, it's just not how he's being best optimized, I think. And if we're going to be paying him, you know, $16 million a year, like, that's one of those things you got to look at, or it's, once again, I feel like we keep going back to this, but it's like, it's asset mismanagement to not optimize that player.
For sure. The Lou Will lineup, we're going to close with this, that should get more time at some point.
What do you got? Lay it on me.
We got Bev and Lou, obviously, PG, Batum, and Serge. They've only played 13 total minutes, but they're plus 54. I know that's not indicative of what more time would look like, but just in some spots, this is an absurd lineup. And if you put Kawhi in place of Batum, I absolutely love this lineup because you have a guy who can get to North-South and Lou Williams better than almost anyone on the team, and then you have the starters.
Yeah.
Like, so it's obviously not a defensive closing lineup, but it's a lineup that, man, if you need points and rim protection, you're not getting much better than what the Clippers can offer with this particular lineup.
This is one of those things, too, that, like, you know, pending on what Ty Lue sees the adjustment need to be, like, if we need a spark just sort of offensively and we're, you know, like, we're matching up defensively fine with the team, I would love to see this start a third.
Ooh,
to be honest with you.
Like, okay, well, just halfer.
Just come out in the second half with a different kind of spark, different kind of look.
Yeah.
And obviously it would be matchup dependent, but...
For sure, definitely.
Just kind of throwing something at the wall and...
Seeing if it sticks.
If it's effective, I mean, why not give us a little bit of jolt? I think it's worth trying anything. I mean, especially right now while we're undermanned.
Yeah.
Let's just take some looks.
Let's take some shots. I love it. Coming up, we're going to be trying to calm everyone down about some trade situations with the Clippers. But first, we got to talk about these auto parts. Will, talk about auto parts. What are they? Where can I buy them? Do they go in cars? Can I use them in trucks?
You can use them in cars or trucks. Look, okay. The thing about auto parts is with the increasing number of makes and models of cars, it is impossible for any brick and mortar store to stock all the parts that you need in their traditional chain front. So why would you want to endure the pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? You know, is your Odyssey an LX? Is it an EX? Why would you want to wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer?
They're always asking me, sir, why are you crying? It's just a bike light.
And they can only order you the brands that their warehouse happens to carry. You have a computer. You have access to rockauto.com at home. You have a computer in your pocket. and rockauto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or a daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
Sick.
The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, the specifications, even the prices that you prefer. Speaking of prices,
what?
Prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers like you. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right. Hey, I just got so many auto parts. I'm drowning in these things.
Do you feel relaxed now?
Very relaxed.
That your auto is fixed?
Now I can finally do all this auto work I've been doing. Welcome to Shavings. Look, while you were in Joshua Tree...
I was getting out there, expanding
your mind.
I was getting out there.
You know, being with your friends and the person you love. I'm out here in the trenches on Twitter, right? Like...
You got to man the ship.
I'm getting mustard gassed all over the trenches out here on Twitter. Clippers Twitter, it was just a nightmare on Monday. Everyone's thinking we lose two games in a row, and everyone's thinking we need a G-dang trade. We don't. We have the best half-court offense behind the Nets, or one of the best, excuse me. We're still kind of figuring things out, and we're playing very elite basketball right now. Clipper Spencer had a great Twitter Tuesday question in regards to this. They said, why can't we have nice things? What is the mentality behind this right now? What I think it is, I'm going to go ahead and answer my own question.
Go for it.
Is that if you've been a Clippers fan for a very long time, this is truly the first time, last season I'm counting too, that the contender label feels a lot more real than other times. Even at the heights of Lob City, there were, I think, look, this is the best Clippers team assembled right now that we have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, unquestionably.
And if you've been a fan of the Clippers, you're never used to having good expectations. Even Lob City, you're like, this is really fun basketball. Like, oh, of course there's injuries. You get your heart broken either way. We've now, after the Shea trade, have run head-on into your favorites. Into you are now the favorites and that whole thing. And I think that puts people on edge when you also combine the fact that we've had franchise-altering trades the three, four seasons. I've lost count at this point. And at the trade deadline. Like, I think people are just antsy right now.
Yeah, so I gotta be honest, man. I am a little bit antsy, and I don't think that there's a trade. Look, I don't think that we need a trade if this Clippers team can stay at full strength.
Right. That's a big caveat, and I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's the same with any team, obviously. If you're out two starters, your team is going to drop some games.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Period. So, I don't know. I guess I do have questions about the longevity of Patrick Beverley. I hope that he is all good. I certainly hope that this is sort of the... not the end, but this is, we see a limiting of this. I hope that, like, part of his removal from the roster for as long as it's been hasn't been necessity so much as an overabundance of caution.
I think it has been. He's been warming up before some games, and you're like, this fool looks like he might be ready to play.
Yes.
Specifically, really only the Celtics and Kings game, but I see what you're saying.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess I do have some concern there. Once again, like, the thing we got to keep coming back to, I feel like, is there's not a lot of upward mobility to be made.
That's my thing, is where the hell, if you don't like Patrick Beverley and you don't like Lou Williams, right, you think they're bad, Bev is hurt, whatever, whatever, what are we trading for that's an upgrade that is realistic? We're hard capped.
Yeah, and you're looking at what? Those combined salaries, like 24 mil in that range?
Something like that, yeah. Like,
so that's not enough to get you Kyle Lowry.
Okay, we have to talk about this. People are talking about Kyle Lowry in a trade which would involve Lou, Bev, Zoo, and the Detroit second rounders.
Who plays for this team at that point?
So we're losing Lou, Bev, and Zoo. So we're losing a really good young piece who makes $7 million a year at the center, who's good at defense. So our defense gets worse.
And as we mentioned,
Patrick Patterson is the backup C.
And as we mentioned earlier, like, Zoo is like the exact kind of contract that you need to extend the run of a team.
Yes, great point. There's an absurd rumor that Russell Westbrook will be traded the Clippers in a three-team deal.
No, which, thanks.
If you look, Shane Young has a great Twitter account. You should follow him at, I think it's Young NBA, which always gets confused for NBA Youngboy, which is so funny. He had a stat, like, Westbrook is like literally one of the worst shooters in the league right now. Why would adding him help us in any way? We're going to regress from 42% from three. Why would adding the worst shooting player in the NBA help us?
Yeah,
losing depth, like,
I just think that we're kind of sometimes as fans we're kind of maybe getting a little caught up in this narrative about the traditional point guard thing. And look, man, I have to be honest with you. With this whole team healthy, it just kind of wasn't an issue. We were leading the league in assisted field goal
percentage. LA Clips Film had a great tweet. They're like, we already have a point guard, and his name is Paul George. Like, they're just getting more responsibility. There's a fake report about Lou Will being unhappy and that the Clippers have made other teams aware that Bev and Lou are available. This is from In the House. This is from a Twitter account called Clipper Talk, which has no real sources and is just saying these things. Like, Lou Will's been playing well. Bev is just hurt. Like, the availability thing is a concern. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like that's not something that a lot of Clippers fans, including myself, have thought about, you know, when it comes to the playoffs. But there's just not moves. They're not made this easily. You don't trade for Kyle Lowry, who's making $30 million and is a free agent next season.
Here's my thing.
Easily.
Here's my thing.
With a hard cap team. Sorry, go ahead.
Here's my thing about this. It's just, I have trust in this front office. I think that the talent that they've put together is more than capable of winning a championship.
They've assembled the best half-court offense in the league up to this point.
I think that if we, you know, we get to the end of this schedule, like this schedule of games, and hopefully, you know, don't end up playing in the All-Star game, you know, who knows?
Please sit that shit out.
and they think that we need to swing for the fences, or we need to hedge our bets in a certain way. I mean, that's when that move is going to be made.
Right.
The time to think about those moves or ponder those moves isn't after dropping two games in a knee-jerk reaction.
Winnable games. We didn't get blown out in these damn games.
Yeah.
Like, people are acting like we, like, got murked.
It's not the game that didn't happen, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, someone asked, are we okay with the 3 seed for the Clippers? Yeah. The way the Jazz are playing, it's unreal. Lakers look very good. There's some issues with AD's Achilles. But, like, yeah, 3 seed's fine.
I don't know. It's a long season. And once again, like, I'm not stressing result until we get to the playoffs. Like, the thing this year is we have an entirely new coach, an entirely new system,
yep,
bunch of new guys in the roster. It has to be about just building good habits and learning to play, winning basketball when it counts.
And you make a trade to play winning basketball in this sense, where you're fine-tuning it on the margins, not in a way where you're sending 4 or 5 players out to get Kyle Lowry.
That to me sounds...
That's a desperation-ass trade
that's
move.
That's a desperation move.
And we will... I hope I eat these words. There's no way that trade happens.
It's just too much. I just don't know who plays on the team.
It just leaves us so screwed depth-wise. It's not 2K. Like, anyway, I think that wraps it up, right? Got to get off these soapboxes.
Yes,
Wednesday's episode, we're going to have a preview of the game against the Timberwolves. We've had a bunch of rest. Clips should be coming out hot for that one. Hope to see Pat Bev back. Hey, what you say Wednesday poll on Twitter, so go ahead and look out for that, @LockedOnClips. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, the Batum Battalion winners have been announced.
That's right.
Congratulations to everyone.
Yes, thank you.
Who got one of the 20 shirts.
Thank you, everybody who left a review and got into this raffle. We'd love to do some more of this stuff, so keep an eye out. We'll definitely keep you updated.
If we qualify for whatever the hell qualifications for the stimulus payment, we're going to have another raffle, no problem. might be Tinker and Ty. Might be another Batum Battalion. We'll figure it out. Will, where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
You could check us out on iTunes or the podcast app.
Oh, yeah.
We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. Once again, we come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. Thank you to everyone who listens to the show. We couldn't be happier to have you here. We love bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week.
It's been great. And if you're still listening, just one more contractually obligated reminder that this episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have heard about this in the New York Times, InStyle Magazine, or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only 10 diamonds, responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com. When they're gone, they're gone. We all know the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're ready to make a special commitment or looking for a unique and meaningful way to flex on Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings is now available exclusively at BlueNile.com. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.